Good evening. Good evening. Well, glory to God. Thank God for the privilege that we have to be seated at the apostles' table. Functioning from apostolic grace. It makes it easy. It makes it easy because you have entered into someone else's labor. That's what Jesus said. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this school. We thank you for our apostle, the founder, his family. We thank you for just apostolic grace. We thank you for the restoration of the apostle and the prophet, these governmental gifts to the body of Christ that will have a sure foundation to stand firm upon. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, who's the true teacher. He's full of wisdom. He's the illuminator. He's the revelator. We thank you, Holy Spirit. You know all things. For the Bible says you search at all things, yes, the deep things of God. But you not only search the deep things of God, you reveal them and make them known unto us. Because when they are revealed and made known unto us, we can now be partakers of those things. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you did very well on the exam. I think there were 78. A's, 30 of them were perfect 100s, so many B's and C's, and only 3 F's. So, you know, just continue to push forward. I do say to the students that are making F's, you know, you're just not applying yourself. When you have a study guide and the tests come exactly from the study guide, there's no application. So you really should consider, do you really want to be in school? Because you're not just here to learn, you have to apply what you learn. Amen. You got to put some effort into this. Amen. I didn't just want to come to school. I'm a pastor. I came to get something. Amen. And you don't make A's to prove how smart you are either. But we have to know that you're grasping the material that's being taught. Because one day you're going to have to use it. Amen. Now, last time we left off, we talked about the 9 Old Testament characteristics of Old Testament revival. We're going to get into, we'll be at the end of, I guess, page 6, because we're about to go to the next chapter. But it says in the New Testament, we're talking about characteristics of revival. In the New Testament, the Greek word revival is only used 5 times in the New Testament. You got it? The Greek word for revival is only used 5 times because, watch this, in the New Testament, Christianity itself is a revival. Y'all got it? Now watch what I'm about to tell you something. See, God is a great mathematician, and you're going to see that even when we get to the next chapter. You know, we see numbers and we just think, you know, that numbers in the Bible mean something. Now, in the New Testament, I said the New Testament, the word is only used 5 times. 5 is the number of grace. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's written in the fabric. Grace is written in the fabric. God gave you the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, full of God's grace. If Jesus was full of grace and truth, then he's going to send gifts. That's good. Come on, y'all. I mean, you just got, see, Christianity itself is a revival. Yes. You got it? Then it goes on, to talk about, now I'm not no Greek scholar. Amen. It talks about the Greek word anazao, how you pronounce it, how you want, is used for the restoration for the prodigal son. Y'all remember the prodigal son? Yes, that word is also used for the resurrection of Christ. Amen. These are examples how that word is used. So when you read in this passage of scripture, it comes to you, that word represents revival. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, and then you have the other examples. It talks about the physical resurrection of the dead in the last day in the book of Revelation. But it's also for the deadly effects of sin. Watch this. Evil, as well as righteousness, can have a revival. Hello. Evil, as well as righteousness, can have a revival. But the good thing about the righteous revival is it drives out the evil. Then we say revival is heaven's fire on the earth. Y'all got it? So we should not be concerned about evil. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times would come. Things would get worse and worse, but not for us. The worse it get, the brighter we get. The greater the darkness, the brighter the light. Amen. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Now, there's, in the true sense, darkness never puts out light.
That's right.
Never. I've never seen it. I've never seen darkness put out light. Darkness is the absence of light. Jesus said, watch this. This is what Jesus said. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, which indicated there would come a time when he would leave. So he said, you are the light of the world. You are a city that's set on a hill. You cannot be hid. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its savor or its preservative quantity, a quality. See, we ought to be occupying till he come. Not talking about the rapture. Talking about, like the rapture is an escape hatch for what Satan's doing. We got to change our theology. No. We ought to occupy till he come. Watch this. Revival causes the kingdoms of the earth to be subject to our Christ. We're not trying to get out of here. We're here to bring heaven to earth. Same commandment God gave to Adam and Eve, but more specifically Adam, but you got to remember Eve was in him. He called their name Adam. Adam named her Eve. It's in the Bible. I'm not misquoting. Read it sometime. It'll bless you. Okay. Now watch what I'm about to tell you. God told Adam, I want you to take what I taught you in the garden and fill the whole earth with it. In other words, make the whole earth Eden. Here we are trying to go to heaven when the whole paradigm of the Bible is to bring heaven to earth. You have to start thinking like this. You will want to live to be 120. Because you would want to live to see what great things God's doing. I'm just telling you, we got to have a desire to be here longer, to last longer, to be stronger, because there are generations that's coming after us that need us. Y'all go ahead on. I'm just trying to tell you something. Now, another equivalent New Testament word is used by Paul in 2 Timothy 1:6. Now, I'm not going, y'all get that. But it talks about stir up, meaning fan. It means to fan, into the flame. You know, when you want a fire to take off, what fire needs to get in the rage? Oxygen. Oxygen. It needs combustible materials. But once it hits that combustible material, all it needs to get to start raging is oxygen. Any of y'all cook barbecue? I'm not cook. But, on the grill. See, I'm a master chef. My wife say on the grill. Say can't do nothing in the kitchen. But I know on the grill, watch what I'm about to tell you. If you let too much oxygen get up in there, that thing will burn up everything in sight. You'll be walking back and get more meat. Amen. I'm just trying to show you. All right. So the Bible says stir up the gift. When you praying in the Holy Ghost, you're stirring up the gift. You're fanning the fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost that's in you. Y'all follow what I'm saying? That's revival. Y'all got it? Y'all got it? So it means to flame the fire, to revive. Y'all got it? Some prefer, as they say, to call it a spiritual awakening, huh? Rather than revival. Now, revival means what? To renew. Huh? To reawaken. Hmm? To reinvigorate. To what? To restore the church to wholeness, joy in the Holy Spirit. That's true revival. Revival is more than big meetings, religious excitement, or a quickening, we're on page 6 now, of the saints. It's more than being filled with the Holy Spirit, or even a great harvest of souls. Huh? We've seen all of those things. One or all of those may, you know, exist without revival. Y'all got it? Revival is a God revealing himself. Revival is God revealing himself. Watch this. To men in awesomeness, in awesome holiness, in irresistible power. Awesome holiness and irresistible power. Revival. See, that's why Christianity is a revival. When Jesus came on the scene, he was ushering in revival. They would say things like, strange things didn't happen right here today. A man arm grew out. Oh my God. Jesus, this man spoke and fish show up. He talked to the tree. The tree was dead the next day. What kind of mess this is? He say the devil. The devil just say, yes, sir. What you say? I'm just saying that's true revival. You have to understand in 3 years, this man did so much. The Bible say there's not a volume of books big enough to contain what one man did in 3 years. And we got millions of believers. And so it's got to be something we being taught. So watch this. Being connected to an apostle and an apostolic house changes your paradigm, causes your expectation to be different. You ought to desire to see signs, wonders, and miracles every day. Matter of fact, not only desire to see sign, wonders, and miracle, become a sign, wonder, and a miracle every day. See, I always tell people, if you come around me, your life gonna change. I'm just bold enough to say stuff like that. You hang out with me for 6 months, your life got to change. If not, pack your bags and go. You dead. Don't get it twisted. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Come on now. Hey, why? And I see some people feel like you're bragging. Well, Jesus said a prophet could do no mighty work in his own hometown amongst his own folk. It's in your Bible. So as anointed as Jesus was, he knew he was the real deal. But there were people that couldn't receive from him. They walked away from him. They left his ministry. They quit on him. Did that make Jesus any less than who he was? Jesus said, hell no. Jesus said, I'm sent. And the devil can't stop me. The prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing to connect to in me. I'm here, ladies, pardon me, to whip his tail. And at the end of the day, that's our assignment. Y'all understand that? Revival is when you are taking it to his kingdom, causing the blind to see, the lame to walk, the leper to be cleansed. Come on, talk to me. Something the paralyzed man to get up. Come on, true revival when they start talking about the works of Christ. You know, Jesus, when John's disciples came to Jesus to say, John, not John, the preparer of the way, the one who said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is the Christ. I saw the Spirit come up on him and remain upon him. The one who sent me to baptize told told me upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, that's the Son of God. He said, I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. Here it is a few, have a long late. Y'all go ask him, is he the one? How could you send your disciples to see if he the one? Because the preparer of the way was in the way. He should have packed his ministry up and went with the way. Don't get your assignment twisted. When you're the preparer of the way, you got to get the hell out the way to go with the way. So apostle is here. I ain't got time to be trying to impress you with what I got. I'm connected to him. You won't know where I'm going. Look at what he doing. Because I'm going to stay connected. I'm going to stay in the flow. I'm going to stay in the vein until everything on him come on me. It's something about connection. That's what revival is about. Connecting properly. Getting in the right flow. Let the doubters doubt. I don't spend time entertaining people about is he anointed or not. That's your issue. You tripping. Now, revival is God revealing himself to men in awesome holiness. Awesome. See, when God do stuff, it get people attention. The coward, Peter, on the day of Pentecost. Remember the one who forsook him? The one who said, Jesus, I ain't going to deny you. I'm going to die with you. Jesus said, before the cock crow twice, you going to deny me thrice. Peter went following along. The lady say, yeah, you one of them. He say, I don't even know the brother. Hell, he spent 3 years training me, but today my life on the line. He might lay down his life for me, but right now I is not ready to die. I don't know the man. He went a little further. Another little maid say, yeah, you look like one of them. Nope. I don't know the man. Peter got so mad he started cussing. I say, I don't know the blankety blank blank. Now watch this though. Watch this though. Watch this. Connection will make stuff happen. The little lady say, oh yeah, you one of them. Your speech betray you. You sound like you've been with him. Y'all know the greatest compliment you can get is when somebody tell you, you sound like Apostle Thompson. You know, somebody, oh, not. No, you unique with your crazy self. The greatest compliment a son can get is he's acting like his father. It's called identity. You get your identity from your father. And if Apostle Thompson is our father, what an identity. Don't get mad. Some of y'all come, well, God is my father. Well, I have a word for you. Have you ever seen him? Have you ever seen him? Yeah, I'm going ghetto on you. Have you ever seen him before? How can you honor God who you can't see when you can't honor your father who you can see? Jesus said, I come, watch this. If you want to see my father, take a look at me. I hear his voice. His breath is upon me. His hand is upon me. Y'all got to want connection up in here. You don't want just attend a school, get a little thing, and walk away. This is apostolic ministry. Stay connected. Y'all got it? Now, true revivals, you're going to like this now, are marked by powerful and often widespread outpourings of the Holy Ghost. Hello, somebody. Amen. Y'all got it? I probably read it somewhere else. You know, I'll be reading all this stuff, but not just outpourings of the Holy Ghost. We know we like to be all spiritual too, but not only great outpourings of the Holy Ghost, great signs, wonders, miracles, healing. All of that take place. Yeah. Now we agree on those two. Yes. But here comes the coup de grace.
Come on now.
In true revivals, there's a great outpouring of wealth.
Come on. Yes.
And if you don't hear what I'm hearing, I'm telling you, that apostolic anointing of money cometh that's upon our apostle. Yes. Yes. That the head of the church told him would be here till he come. Yes. Trust what I'm telling you. There is a massive outbreak.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes.
And it's contagious.
Yes.
All you got to do is rub off around the right person. Oh, Lord, it's, y'all say what you want. I'm telling you, you can't be around this and money don't show up unless you got a money problem. Okay, now let's go to the next chapter. I got my alarm today, so I'm going to be all right. Unless that lady back there start waving her hand. Now, chapter number 2, characteristics of end time revival. The first characteristic, it's based upon spiritual timing. Based upon what?
Spiritual timing.
No, not your clock. That's why so many young people in trouble. So many people out here running around with ministries they shouldn't have. They couldn't wait. Because God has a timing. Just because you come to school don't mean you go start no church. It's your crazy self. I say that. I surely did. I'm talking to you that shouldn't have that coffee cup in your hand watching why we.
Come on.
Okay. Now watch what it say. Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I know y'all read script. Y'all say, okay, when the day of Pentecost, what does that mean? When the day of Pentecost was fully come. I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost said. See, before, at the end of one era, going into the next one, God always give you little glimpses of what's about to come. Do some of that. How much time I got, baby? 5 minutes. I got 5 minutes. Now, listen to what I'm about to tell you. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, fully. I'm sorry, I'm giving you something. You can't mess with it. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, listen. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. Well, if something hasn't fully come, that means something was happening before it fully came.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So y'all want an example?
Yes.
Huh? Y'all want an example?
Yes.
The Bible says that John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ,
yes,
was filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb.
Yes.
The Bible says that Elizabeth, upon hearing the salutation and the baby jumping in the belly and being filled with the Holy Ghost, she got filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Hold up, Zachariah, who didn't believe the angel, talked to me. He couldn't even talk. Because the angel said, because you don't believe me, I got to shut your mouth so you don't mess up this miracle. But when the fullness of time came for Elizabeth to deliver the child, and they say name him Zach Jr., the mama said, no, his name shall be called John. Talk to me now. And when they went to ask Zachariah, is that what you're going to name the child? Because they thought he was going to say Zach. He said no. He couldn't write. He went to write John. The minute he wrote John, according to what was spoken, his tongue got loose. He got filled with the Holy Ghost and he began to prophesy.
Yeah.
Now, on the day of Pentecost, I really have a problem with a lot of church theology.
Come on now.
Because they start teaching stuff and we grab on it like, because they are scholar, they know everything. My question to you is, if they say you could not get born again until Jesus went to the cross, that's what they said, till he went to the cross, went down, resurrected, well, that don't fit.
No, it don't fit.
If it don't fit, you must acquit.
All right.
Because the Holy Ghost was not going to invade nobody who... Okay, you read chapter 2. Well, I mean, that lady told me, that lady back there raising her hand. I'm not getting in trouble with apostle for you. I ain't that anointed. Y'all read next chapter. We'll be picking up with this next week.